I was thinking we started out with the Lemon Sisters, our gracious, talented women, and now they have the Lemonettes. I don't know if they like being called that, but what do you think, Roy? Where's Roy? You for that? All right. Good morning. You know, what if God called you to pack up everything that you own and take your family? You got to convince your family of this. And take your family and move to another country. Not to a country that you know, but to a place that's unknown to you. And ask you just, you're going to move there. It tells you to. What would you do? And yet when we read the story of Abraham, that's exactly what we read. He tells them to go. Go to this land. You don't even know where it is. Tells him. God made a promise to him that he would make him into a great nation. He would make his name great, give the land to where he was going to his offspring, and he promised to bless all the families of the earth through Abraham. And this morning's scripture is probably one of the most important stories that we read in the Bible of God's redemption story. It is the turning point in which we see that God comes in, calls Abraham, and he starts implementing the promises that he made in Genesis 3:15 that we talked about last week. And I love this idea of a seed being blown there in Genesis in the garden at the fall of man. And this seed kind of tracing its way through the Old Testament. And then one day arriving in the person of Jesus Christ. And the first part that seed kind of gets pushed along its journey is through Abraham. And this morning's message is titled Promises to Abraham. And it's looking at Genesis 12 verses 1 through 9. So if you have your Bible, you can start turning there now so you can join us. We will see God's call on Abraham. And we will see God's promise to his people, a land, a blessing to Abraham, and a blessing to the nations. And we'll see today that we're a part of that blessing. And we're participants in it. So let's go to Genesis 12, 1 through 9. I have it marked so I can quickly get there. Hopefully you're there. And we'll read this together. Genesis 12, 1 through 9. And God said to Abraham, go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. All the people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions that he had accumulated, and the people that he had acquired in Haran. And they set out from the land of Canaan to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the site of Shechem, to the oak of Moriah. And at this time, the Canaanites were in the land. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord from where he appeared to him. And from there, he moved to the hill country east of Bethel. And he pitched a tent to Bethel and west to on the west and Ai to the east. And he built an altar to the Lord there. And he called on the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed in stages to Negev. Abraham lived in the land of Ur. That's what we know he's been called from that. If you're looking on a map, you can kind of picture the Middle East. You can look at modern-day Kuwait. That would be the land of Ur. And if you kind of look up, because he went north to Haran, if you know like the map of the Middle East, there's this like in shape, and it's called the Fertile Crescent. You can look at it on a map. It'll be the only green part in all the data. And you can see that's where civilization started in what would be southern Iraq and Kuwait and Egypt. This is one of the farmers first started farming, it's the cradle of civilization, is that fertile crescent. And so we can trace Abraham going through that fertile crescent and going down into the land of Canaan. And what we see up to this point in the Bible is we started in Genesis and we're reading, now we're in the 12th chapter of Genesis, and we see that God has been dealing with the terrible consequences of sin. Remember where we left off last week was the fall of man. And in chapter 3 of Genesis, sin comes into the world and death with it. And the very first thing that we see is murder. The very first consequences of sin was murder. Cain killed Abel, his brother. The very first act of sin. And then we see the world get populated, and it just gets sinful and worse and worse and worse. And what does God do? He sends judgment in the flood. And he saves Noah and his family. And we have afterwards, you know, nothing really changed. They came out, and before long, they populated again, and they built the Tower of Babel, trying to be like God. And God had to change the language, remember, and scatter them to the world. So we just seen the consequences of sin. It doesn't matter what God does in judgment of them, that sin still is rampant in the hearts of men. And we just continue to see this fall of humanity. And God, in calling Abram, we see this beginning where God implements his plan and he starts to deal with sin and evil in the world. We see him actively participating in that. Through Abraham, God would establish his kingdom purposes on earth. He'd start implementing this plan. And it begins with four promises that start with, I will. I don't know if you caught that or not. I will. We read these verses, it's impossible not to see that all these promises start with I will. I will bless. I will turn him into a great nation. I will bless the people of the earth. I will give your offspring this land. God is taking the initiative. We see that God is intervening directly into history. Directly into history. And it tells me when I read that God is the one who's putting this together. It's not man, it's not the will of man, but it's the will of God. And it's his pleasure to implement this. It is God who is making the plans come together. God calls Abraham, who would become the father of multitude. That's what Abraham means, father of multitude. And he would become a father to multiple things. He calls him to pack up his family, leave everything he knows. He calls him to a country that he's not even sure of yet. And he's to take his extended family because, you know, he got called and he went north to his father's house. And he stayed there till a while until his father passed away. It's like God kind of worked things. It's like he almost hesitated, but then the reason he hesitated was taken out of the picture. So now he goes. And he goes. And he left everything. Just think about that for a moment. Everything that he knew, he left. Everything that was comfortable with. He even left his inheritance because he left his father's house. He left it all. He calls him to go somewhere he didn't know, and he did all of this based on a promise. On a promise. Abraham believed God and obeyed, which makes me think about the call of God. I don't know if we don't talk enough about the call of God, that God calls us. God calls us, and when he does call us, he calls us always to leave what we know. Just think about that for a minute. He calls us from what we know, and he calls us to a place where we have to trust him. He'll move us from a place where we're comfortable to a place where we're not comfortable. I just think of my call to ministry. For 6 years, I ran from the call of ministry because it terrified me. Especially just standing up in front of people and talking. Just the whole concept of it. And yet, it was God's will. It was God who made the steps possible. It was God who equipped. It was God who I had to learn to rely upon. Anybody who's answered the call of God, He calls us from something we don't know into something that He's going to help us and empower us and strengthen us. But He calls all of us. Each one of you, if you put your faith in Christ Jesus, you've been called. Been called out of the world. You've been called to become a part of God's kingdom. You've been called to do something. You've been called. And God's call is never easy. And you just think about it. He calls us into a faith that we don't even fully understand when we answer the call. I mean, what is it? So many of us have an idea what it means to be a Christian, but until you become a Christian and start living the Christian faith, you don't realize what it is. Am I right? How many of you thought it was going to be easy and it was just going to be, you know, simple? No one thought that it was going to be difficult, that God would make things harder. And why would He do that? Because He wants me to rely on Him, not in my own strength, but on His strength. He teaches me these things as I go along the way, but it's not easy, is it? But it's rewarding, isn't it? Because you realize that that's my true purpose, my true strength, and my true calling in life is to live for Christ and to be in Christ and to answer the call and be obedient. He calls us out of the world to live differently, to be His people. And He did that to Abraham. God called Abraham when he was 75 years old and had no children. So I don't want to hear when someone says, I'm too old for that, Pastor Steve. Abraham, 75, when he called him, and no children. Abraham answered the call and he moved his family, believing God would make his offspring into a great nation. And that's belief. That's belief. He did it. And he did it without prescription medicine. He did it without pain pills. Just think about that in those days, moving like that. I just can't. Anyways, God answered the call. And by answering God's call, God established Abraham through the nation of Israel. And we would read, and we're going to see next week how God would dramatically free His descendants from slavery in Egypt and would lead them into the promised land. And so we see this idea of promised land. Abraham settled in Canaan. He pitched a tent. I don't know if you caught that, but he pitched a tent between Bethel and Ai. You know, and Bethel is house of God, and Ai means heap of ruins. So he like found a place in the middle. Somewhere in the middle of God's house and place of ruin. And he found a place and he settled down and he built an altar there and he called upon the name of God. The promise of this land to Abraham's offspring is probably one of the most key elements that we see in the Old Testament and in the Bible and in general. It was a promised land that God would establish His kingdom purposes. He would give a picture of what the kingdom was supposed to look like. It didn't work that well because man's heart hadn't been changed, but we would see Him establish the nation of Israel. We'd see His kingdom. It would be a promised land where we see the rise of God's people on earth, how He would establish this nation, the nation of Israel. He would govern them through kings. It wasn't His original intent, but that's what the people wanted because they started to look around them. But originally it was just God was going to govern through prophets and priests, but they wanted a king, so he used kings, but He oversaw them all the time with prophets, in which God would speak through the prophets. So the king would govern and do what he did, but God was speaking through the prophets, and he would bring the prophets in the call into account the activities of the kings. God also promised to bless Abraham personally. So we see Him establish this promised land, this people, and then we see that He promised to bless him. And when we look at Abraham, we see God blessing him through abundance. He becomes rich and powerful. But his greatest abundance would come later when he was even older than he was now. God promised an heir from his own body. Remember, he and Sarah tried to circumvent this plan of God by bringing in a slave, Hagar. But God said, nope, that's not the plan. I still have a plan for you. And so he said, from an heir from your own body, tells Abraham. And he takes him out, and we can read about it in Genesis 15. He takes him outside and tells him to look up in the sky and count the stars. And he says, when you look up there, if you can count them, your offspring are going to be more than the stars you can count. That's how numerous they're going to be. And Abraham listens to God, and this is what he says. In the very next verse, Genesis 15, 6, he says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he was credited to him righteousness. So he went out there, and he saw this, even though he was an old man, and he believed what God had told him. God still made him wait till he was over 100 years old to start his family. 100 years old, and his wife Sarah was in her 90s. Just think about that for a moment. And both of them, when you read the stories, both of them laughed at this. Sarah laughed, I'm way beyond childbearing years. How am I going to have a baby? And even when Abraham heard this, he laughed. They both laughed. And then she gave birth to a son. And they named him Isaac. You know what the name Isaac means? You ready for this? It means to laugh. At the end, God got the laugh. Because he performed a miracle in them, right? And they would always have to call to laugh. Come on to dinner, laugh. Because that's what it meant. And they'd always be reminded of what God had done for them. But it was through Isaac later that Isaac would have two sons, Jacob and Esau. And it was through Jacob God would establish the 12 tribes of Israel through his 12 sons. And it started with Abraham's obedience to God that this would happen. Indeed, God would bless the nations through Abraham. Now, I had to think about that for a moment. When I was reading verse 3, I was reading how all the... excuse me. In verse 3, I was reading how all the people on earth would be blessed through you. And I had to think about, because I know the most obvious way in which they were blessed, but how else have we been blessed by the nation of Israel, that God established them? And because I think about, because of this promise, beyond it goes beyond Abraham and his descendants. This promise, I will bless the nations, is bigger than that. It's bigger than just the descendants of Abraham. So how would God bless all the nations of the world? And I was thinking about how through Abraham and these promises, the nation of Israel was established, and it was the nation of Israel that was given the oracles of God. The scriptures come through that nation and through their descendants. And they were entrusted with the very words of God. And it's through the scriptures that we're reading today. Think of these 4,000 years that we've had these promises, and now we have these all written down in a book. And we can read them. The Bible is amazing. It's a miracle. It's a testament to God's character and his nature. It's through this Bible that we can pick up and we can read the redemptive history of God intervening directly into history. And we can know the nature and character of God. And we would know none of these stories if God hadn't preserved it in his word. And we have all blessed by God's word. How many of you have been encouraged by God's word just by picking it up and reading it? Or listening to these things? I see a hand, yeah. We've all been blessed, right? It is because of God's word. We know all these things. And God blessed the world through giving us the scripture, still the number one selling book in the world. It's through that we know God, and we can interact with God, and we can we can see him interacting with the world. It is through the scriptures that we would learn about the Messiah, God's servant who would come and suffer to bring salvation to the world. When we look at Abraham, we see his great faith and we see God's grace. Because if you study Abraham, one of the things that gets me is Abraham's not the perfect man. He lied several times. He did some things. And we see God's grace. But he was faithful. He was faithful to keep his promise. He answered the call of God and he trusted in a promise. It is faith which set the stage for God's story to be revealed through his people. God kept his word, made and kept his covenants, and he established his people. And ultimately, Abraham's faith would point us to the blessing that would come into the world through his seed, who is Christ. It is in Christ Jesus we see the fulfillment of the promises of Abraham. It is in Christ we become the promised people. It is in Christ God would establish his church. And it is through the church that God would keep his promises and take this message of the gospel into the world. And so knowing this about Abraham, this one thing you start studying about Abraham, you could spend months preaching on Abraham because he's all through the Bible in so many ways. But this morning I have several questions for you. You're sitting here and you've just heard kind of a survey study of Abraham. You've looked at the promises that were made to him and you've looked at him in his faith. And we haven't even talked about his faithfulness in that God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac and he went through that. We didn't even touch on this, but we see Abraham's faith. And my question for you is, when you think about it, what has God called you to do and have you answered the call? You can't escape that thinking about it. Abraham's answered the call, and because of that, all these things happened. And I just can't help but think about, what has God called you to do, and are you being obedient this morning to that call? Whatever that is. You know, calling of God takes on different things. It's not just a call to a ministry. It could be a call to a vocation. I don't know if you think about this, but God calls, I believe, God calls people to vocations, to jobs, to go somewhere and work. You know, because here's this idea that we're God's people, and God's people are the temple, right? That's what it tells us in Peter. And God no longer resides in a stone building, but he resides in the hearts of men and women that are part of the church, that are part of the body of Christ, a peculiar people, as the King James says. And we are to go out into the world. I love this idea that on Sunday mornings we gather together, and at the end of this service, at the end of this next 20 minutes, we're going to finish here, and what are we going to do? We gather, and we're going to scatter. Right? You're all going to go to your places. The temple is mobile. It's going to go out to places. You're going to go to your families. You're going to go to your workplaces. You're going to go to places. And with you, you're going to take this seed with you, this idea, this promises of God. You're going to take them and you're going to share them with the people around you. No matter where that is, it could be a convenience store. It could be the hospital. It could be your place of work. It could be your neighbors. It could be anywhere. Because you're Christ ambassadors. You take this message out with you. And so I don't know what you're thinking, but where has God called you? Maybe you're sitting here right now and you're thinking, well, God hasn't called me to anything. And I would pray for you right now that God would start to reveal your calling on you. Because everybody who's in Christ Jesus is called. Every one of us. And maybe you can't get out and do things. You can pray. You can be called to pray. How many of you can pray? Every hand should have gone up on that one. Right? We can all pray. But we're all called to do something. We're all called by God. And the big question is, are you being obedient? And I just want to encourage you this morning to answer the call and trust in the God's I will. When you hear that call and you hear the second voice, because what's the second voice? I can't do that. Right? That's the second voice. I want you to hear the third voice. I will. I will. Because it's God who will. He'll make it happen. If He's called it to you, He's called you to something, God will make it happen. He will. And you have to trust in that. That's our job, is to trust in that. Secondly, this morning, I have to just ask you, have you trusted in the promises of God to save you? Have you trusted in the promises of God to save you? The Bible says this, for God so loved the world in this way, that He gave His one and only Son, that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. We see the promise there of Abraham that you will be a blessing in many nations in the person of Jesus Christ, who came into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. And we're talking about future promises, but, you know, as Pastor Neely, this Thursday, as we are gathered for prayer, he reminded us that Jesus had come. That's not just a promise of something that will come, but Jesus, we can read in the scriptures in Luke that He came. He was born among us. The angels testified to Him. The shepherds in the field said, He's here. Jesus came. He walked this earth. We're going to celebrate, and we're starting to gin up. Some of you, how many of you put up Christmas trees yet? You know, it's not Thanksgiving yet. That's the rule, right? We're going to celebrate the birth of Christ coming into the world. He came into the world. And then we're going to celebrate down the road Him dying for us. He lived His life perfectly. He was born to die. I got in trouble for saying that to a bunch of Awana kids. I had a mom pull them out because I said that. But when you think about it, Christ came to die. That was His whole purpose. He was a seed. He was born to die. He lived the perfect life. Fulfill the law perfectly, do everything that God had required of him, and then he laid that life down. And he also says, I take that life up. And because he died, was buried, and he rose again, we have life. We have the promise of life. We have the promise of salvation because it happened upon the cross. And we trust in the promises of Jesus Christ that are made through him. And so this morning, have you trusted in the promises of God? That's the question. And I hope you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that we can just come into your presence right now. And I thank you for Abraham. I thank you for the seed of Abraham, Lord, and Jesus Christ as he came into the world. And I can't help but think about the call, Lord. And I pray that you would help us with that, Lord, and give us strength and encourage us to answer the call. But most of all, Lord, I pray that we would put our trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, those moments and times in our lives, I pray we would trust him. I pray, Lord, right now there's somebody sitting here. I said, I've never put my faith in Christ, and I want to this morning. I pray right now they're thinking about that, Lord, and you're convicting them of sin, of righteousness, and judgment, and through the Holy Spirit, you're pointing them to Jesus Christ. Because it is through Jesus Christ and repentance and turning to him that we have salvation. And I pray right now, Lord, that somebody's sitting here, that we're putting our faith in Jesus Christ, not in what I do and what I can't do, but in what Jesus did upon the cross, where he took up on the full wrath of God, the punishment we all deserve. He laid that life in the grave, and he took it up again. And because of that, Lord, we can put our faith in Christ and have salvation. To know you, Lord. To know you personally. Be clothed in righteousness, justified to stand before you. Lord, this is all through the person of Christ. So, Lord, help us to put our faith in Jesus this morning. And we just want to worship him and thank you for him. And thank you for all the promises you make and fulfill. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.